Hello, everyone. This is Edward Arnold, your storyteller, speaking to you from Hollywood. I have a transcribed story for you about a Navajo rug and a group of startled elks. I'll be back to tell it to you in just a moment.
One of the most rewarding and satisfying careers any woman can have is in the profession of nursing. If you're under 35, in good health, and a high school graduate, there are almost unlimited opportunities in the field of professional nursing. For those under 50, there are highly rewarding opportunities in practical nursing. Learn more about this career with a future. Inquire at your nearest hospital or write to Nursing Careers in care of your local postmaster. Do it now. Now, here's your storyteller, Edward Arnold.
The story I want to tell you now has to do with a determined old Navajo Indian lady and a group of elks. There are probably a lot of stories in the folklore of the West about Indians and elks, but this story has one big difference. The elks I'm talking about weren't forest creatures. They were lodge members of the BPOE in a city in Arizona. The brother elks were refurnishing their club rooms, and it became the duty of one of the committee members to decide upon a suitable covering for the meeting room floor. He looked at wall-to-wall carpets, he looked at exotic rugs, he looked at so many rugs in the course of a month that he felt as if he'd eaten, slept, and dreamed rugs all his life. But finally, in the midst of all his tours of inspections, he hit upon a solution which was satisfactory to his brother's elks. The floor covering should be a giant Navajo rug, woven to order. There was no question about it. It would be the most beautiful rug in any lodge room in the country. The club member in charge of the rug buying went off to consummate the deal. He sought out the most skilled weaver in the area. Taking with him a picture of the elk's head symbol of the lodge, he made arrangements with the weaver to make the rug, following the specified design. "You're sure you can follow this pattern?" the rug buyer asked the Indian. The champion Navajo rug weaver nodded. Pride forbade her even to make comment. Of course she could follow the design. It had been her faithful execution of designs that made her her reputation. The man from the Elks Club went back and reported to his lodge members that the rug was in the works. It was just a question of time. 1 month passed, 2 months, three. From time to time, the committee member from the Elks paid a visit to the old Navajo rug weaver to see how she was doing. Always he was told the same thing. The rug is coming along fine, but it's a long job. A year passed altogether, and then one day the weaver, puffed up and proud that the assignment was finally completed, informed the club members that the masterpiece was ready. She sent two of her sons into town with it to report to the members' reactions to the rug and to collect the fee. The club members assembled in the large rooms while the weaver's two sons prepared to unroll the rug. There was a heavy silence in the room. The members were spellbound, waiting to see their emblem immortalized in the precise workmanship of their Navajo craftsmen. The two boys were anticipating the o's and ahs of the assembled members of the Brotherhood. When the rug was unfurled, the silence continued, but a silence of a different sort. This was a stunned silence at what they saw. To a Navajo, the important thing about a rug is faithful execution of a design, and a design which captures the weaver's imagination. So it was with the expert Navajo weaver who'd been commissioned to make the rug for the Elks Club rooms. She'd lost the paper given to her by the chairman of the floor covering committee. She'd found another piece of paper, also with lettering, also with an attractive design. Instead of a rug bearing the elk's head symbol of the club and the familiar BPOE letters, the brothers looked down at a tremendous Navajo rug, exquisitely woven, which read, "Drink Arbuckle's coffee." Well, I'll be back to tell you some more stories about the Navajo weavers in just a moment, so don't go away.
Have you ever heard of Double Jeopardy? Of course. Even a 9-year-old boy playing cops and robbers knows he can't be tried twice by his pals for the same crime. But how come? Why not? Why not keep trying a man over and over until you wear him down to a confession? Or pile up enough circumstantial evidence to prove him guilty? Or wear the jury down until they're ready to hang the accused rather than go through another trial? Why not? Well, let's look for the reason in the driest of dry places, which suddenly is the most interesting set of words on earth. Once you need them. We find them in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Way down in the middle, we see where it says, "Nor shall any person be subject, for the same offense, to be twice placed in jeopardy of life or limb." It's the law of the land, originated during the First Congress in 1789, City of New York. A law created by wise men for the continuing role of true justice for all in the United States. Guard it well, for it is part of your Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment. It is one of our freedoms.
And here again is Mr. Edward Arnold.
If you've ever seen a Navajo rug, maybe you've amused yourself with trying to figure out the meaning of the symbols incorporated in the design. Maybe you've imagined that the symbols told a story of some courageous Navajo warrior and his pursuit of a beautiful Indian princess. Maybe you've suspected that the lines and squares symbolize some mystic Indian formula for finding peace and happiness. A lot of folks have found fun dreaming up interpretations of the Navajo designs, and most of them have been about as far off the track as you can get. The great majority of the designs have no meaning at all. They're just geometrical figures which happen to appeal to the imagination of the particular weaver involved. Any chance pattern which catches the Navajo weaver's eye is a fit subject for a rug. The story about the Elks Club and their rug is a good example of that. Another example was the experience of an Arizona trader. Usually he made suggestions to the weavers of patterns he thought would be good sellers, and usually the weavers followed his suggestions. But one day, one of the most expert craftsmen in his territory told him she had an idea of her own she'd like to execute. "It'll be a fine one," she assured the trader, "but it'll be a big one. It'll take lots of time." The trader had great confidence in the woman's work. He sat back and waited and hoped for the best. Finally, after months and months of careful work at her loom, she showed up at the trading post with the rug. She didn't use the word masterpiece, but the trader could tell that it was a word she would have used to describe her rug if she had known it. As a matter of fact, it was a masterpiece. It was a reproduction, accurate in every detail, of color and design, of a soap wrapper. Now I'd like to tell you another story, a story about a house guest who came to stay. The house guest's name is Woody. He's the guest of a family up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. She's a woodchuck. But Woody isn't any ordinary woodchuck. She's probably the most pampered woodchuck in the whole world. The family in Eau Claire took Woody in when she was just a baby, often when her mother was killed. They fed her with doll's bottles and gave her the run of the house. She's grown up now and has a home of her own underneath the family porch. But she still has the run of the house and the icebox. Each morning, Woody appears promptly for breakfast, which may consist of pecans and cucumbers, milk, jam sandwiches, or cereal left behind by the children in the family. During the day, she lunches on an occasional petunia leaf from the garden. The best of all, she likes homemade popsicles, which the lady of the house makes for her. Woody gobbles them up with as much delight and difficulty as a two-year-old. All in all, Woody's a rather remarkable creature. Friends, I'll be back with another transcribed story. This is a story about a man who took his own advice and almost lived to regret it. Until then, so long, neighbors.
The preceding program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.